Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 is the reading this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we treasure the Word of God, we're going to read today in preparation to receive from the Lord. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Next verse. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Next verse. But God, aren't you glad? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that there is utterance in the house. And Father, that you would speak through me as I speak. God, that you would teach me as I teach. And God, that we would grow up into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. The Word of God is powerful. And we know that. It's the sharpest sword you could ever have. Ephesians 4:12 is the sharpest sword you could ever have. And we admonish you to go to the Word of God whenever you have a question. Whenever you have a thought in your life and you're like, I just don't know what to do. Go to the Word of God first. Some people like to go to Oprah or Dr. Phil, but you know, We're going to God's Word first, right?
Amen.
And if you get, natural wisdom, that's fine, but always check it out with what the Word of God says. And that's key. That is absolute key. So our theme for this year has been come alive in 25. To come alive in every area, to speak life in every area of our lives. Well, how do we speak life? Well, the last several weeks, we've been hanging out in Ezekiel 37. We're not going to go there today. We're moving on today. And so, in a sense, although this has to do with coming alive in 25, it really can stand alone as a sermon by itself. And that is what I feel like God wants me to remind you of, is that who you are. Who you are. Who you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I think in this day and age, there's a lot of confusion about what, people identify this, identify that. And I believe that God's people can sometimes come across being a little bit confused too. And the enemy loves confusion. So he just loves to sow confusion because he keeps us away from the truth. But if we understand who we are in Christ, then that changes absolutely everything. It changes everything. Now, we just read out of Ephesians 2 that he made us alive. And he tells us what state we were in, what our identity was before. Our identity before was that we walked according to the way the world walks. We did things like everybody else, right? According to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So we don't get our cues from culture. We don't get our cues from our nationality. Because our citizenship is in heaven. That's number one. So we don't get our cues from our culture, our nationality, our race, even our gender. I don't get my cues on how I should live just because, well, that's what men do. No. My identity and who I am in Christ is so vital because it is, the Apostle Paul's telling us right here. He said, you were dead, and now he made you alive. We need to remind people who they are. We need to remind our brothers and sisters who they are. No, you've been made alive. You've been made alive. You were dead, but now you're alive. You're alive to God. You were created to be in His presence. That's what we've been talking about during worship, following the Spirit of God. You were created to hear God, to walk with Him. It is the restoration of Adam. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day before the fall. He walked with God as a friend. Adam was even told by God, God would make something and say, name that for us. And Adam would say, giraffe. What are we going to call that one? Platypus. That's a weird one. Looks like a bird and something else, right? Adam was walking with God like that. When we come to Christ, we've been made alive to become that kind of Adam. To become a child of God is to have fellowship with the Creator of the universe. It is to walk with Father God. It is to know Him like you've never known Him before. Amen. You know, recently, I believe I told you last week, I was driving, you know, kind of a country drive, and I just kept meditating on the fact, God, you know, I want to know You better. And I found myself singing an old song, you know, I want to know You more. I found myself meditating on the concept of knowing God. And this just kept coming out in my spirit, that we know God through prayer and fellowship with Him. Right? We hear God through His Word and His Spirit. We partner with God by His Spirit. Because He empowers us to partner with Him. So that He can tell us where to go, what to do. And like Ezekiel, the 4 points that we kind of hammered for several weeks in Come Alive in 25, that opening series, was that we were positioned with God. Ezekiel had a relationship with God so that God could take him in the Spirit to a whole different place. When we have a relationship with Him, He can take us in the Spirit to a whole different place. He can take us in the Spirit to a whole different place. Now, for the last several years, Pastor Christine will come to some of the services that she's able to. She teaches. And Abigail and I will attend a prayer conference, usually up at Grace Family Church. They also have another one over in Nanuet. And during those times of prayer, we would learn and we would have opportunities to get taken places in the Spirit. Yes. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? This sounds so crazy. Yes. Listen, during our prayer time before church today, God was saying, go deeper in My presence. That's what He was saying to us. Go deeper in My presence and stay there longer.
Yes.
And don't be afraid. So when we follow after God and we understand that we were dead and now we're alive, we don't have to follow the culture and do what the culture tells us. But instead, there is an identity that we have now. It's a different kind of identity. We're a child of God. Verse 4 of chapter 2, we read it. But God, who's rich in mercy, that means He treated you better than you deserve, better than I deserve. No matter how good you think you were or are, it's not good enough. So He treats us better than we deserve because of what Jesus did. That's why we just received communion. It's because He did it all. Right? I couldn't be good enough, so He did it. Hallelujah. That's how good God is.
Thank you, Jesus.
So when we come into His presence, it says here in verse 5, when we were dead in our trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. Now verse 6, we didn't read that, but now I want you to go ahead and read it. And we were raised up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Do you realize what this verse is saying? And this isn't the only one. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given to me. Now you go. What did he just do? He just took the power and authority and he gave it to the church to take authority. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The Jacksons and I were at a minister's meeting yesterday and with Brother Sushil. You remember Brother Sushil? We're trying to get him back here for probably a special midweek service in March. So, got to confirm it, but it's looking good. But so that's the kind of thing. It won't be on a Sunday, but it'll be a midweek kind of service. We'll let you know as that gets worked out. But one of the things he said that has changed so many people's lives in India is learning the authority of the believer. Giving out hundreds and hundreds of books about the authority of the believer. That as a believer, as a child of God, seated with him in heavenly places, literally changing villages and regions of India, because they would be able to take authority over the evil spirits that have tried to wreck and wreak havoc on people's lives. And so, as we read this for us here at Westchester Family Church, it says here, we were raised up together. Raised up together, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. So no matter how good of a Christian you think you are, he's still that much better. And because he did it all. We just receive it by faith. It's not anything that we can earn, right? Not anything that we can earn at all. And he continues on saying that we're his workmanship in verse 10, one of my favorite verses. That we were created to do good works in advance or prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So I'm like, God, this is really awesome, awesome stuff. This is awesome. In verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision. That is what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. And at that time, again, he's talking about who you were. Verse 12, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
But now. I love the but God and but now. I love that. But now in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
for he himself is our peace.
Yes.
Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, so to create in himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. That he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we have access by the one Spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? You know, when we think about who we are, we've got to be reminded who we are. We have to be reminded who we are. You're a child of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a child of God. You're not a child of the enemy. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. The King James Version says in, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, when it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. Now that term seated, we don't often, sometimes we just drive right by it.
Yeah.
And we don't really pay attention to it. But if you've been seated with Christ, a seated position is a position of authority.
Glory.
It is a position of rest. It is a position of boldness. It's a position in relationship to God. It's a position with God. I'm reminding you who you are in Christ today. Who you are in Christ. Who you are in your flesh might have some foibles, might have some things you're trying to overcome in the flesh. But who you are in Christ, Christ sees you as righteous, as his child, as one who was bought with a price, as one who is destined to do works that he prepared for you in advance. In advance. Good works. Say good works.
Good works.
See, when we're reminded of who we are in Christ, that's our identity. Our identity is who I am in Christ. That's my identity. And when the enemy tries to remind you of your past, you can remind him of his future and who you are.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
I am his. I am his. Because I am his, and because I am in Christ, you can remind him who he is. That he's a defeated foe. You can remind him that you have authority over him. And in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That includes his.
Yes.
And so our position is we are seated with Christ. Verse 6 of Ephesians says, and he raised us up and seated him. Seated with him. Seated with him. Seated with him. You're with him. You're seated with him. Now close your eyes real quick. And think about where he's seated right now. And you're sitting next to him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
You're sitting next to him.
Right.
He's not far from you.
Hallelujah.
Don't let religion or guilt or inferiority or I don't know Jesus that long. I've only been a Christian. No, don't let any of that stop you from seeing yourself sitting next to Christ.
That's right.
There is a boldness that comes from that. Because you see yourself and you say, I'm sitting next to him.
Praise God.
That means you don't have to make an appointment and go through a bunch of office doors and get checked out by security in order to have an audience with him. He's right there. He's right there. Hey, Jesus, you know what I'm dealing with?
Thank you. Thank you.
You know what I'm worried about right now? Can I give that to you? You see that situation I'm in, God, right now? He's right there. He's right there. He's right there. And that's why you can have boldness. That's why you can have boldness. Hebrews 1:3 says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. And you're seated next to him.
Jesus. Praise
God. He's at the right hand of God. You're on the other side. And you're close. Close as a breath. We sang that song last week. Yahweh. And Sister Averill commented, I heard her just so excited. She commented that that's how we breathe. It's how we breathe. Yahweh. We breathe in and we breathe out. And that's how we say his name. He's that close. Close as the breath that you have in your body, church. He's that close to you. Glory to God. And if Jesus is seated, a seated position is not one that is fighting. It's not one that is in battle. It's one that is in rest. It is one that is from victory. When you have seated, the work has been completed. When you're seated, the work has been completed. When you're seated, the work has been completed. Oh, church. Get that revelation that you're seated with him in heavenly places. Stop seeing yourself as defeated or distant from God. Live with the confidence that you belong in his presence. You were created to be in his presence. You're seated with him. You say, yeah, but Pastor, Jesus feels like he's a million miles away. He's not. It's the enemy trying to deceive you that he's a million miles away. You're right next to him. And he's just waiting for you to connect with him. He's waiting for you to say, I need a little help here. Can you help me? Just like he asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks questions. And he knows the answer. He asks the questions of us so that we can see that he's the answer in every situation that we come across in our life. I want to remind you who you are. You are his. You are his purchased possession. You're his. When you gave your life to Christ, that's why the Apostle Paul could say in Philippians, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. It's why we exist. For his glory, for his praise. Every day we wake up, it should be an adventure with him. What do you want us to do today, God? You have some good works prepared for me in advance. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And you know, I'm going to stay close to you. Because if you're telling me to go down this road, I want to go down that road. If you're telling me to say something to somebody, I'm going to do it. And you say, but I'm not normally I'm normally just really quiet. I'm going to be an introvert. God can take the most introverted person and make them the most extroverted under his anointing.
That's right.
Don't let your personality style be an excuse for not opening your mouth. Don't let your personality style be an excuse for not opening your mouth. If God speaks to you and says, hey, talk to that person, It means he's opening the door. He's opening the door. And man, I'll tell you, it's a blessing when he opens the door. Because there are opportunities to be used of God. And once you get addicted to be used by God, and I'm using the word addicted, it's okay to be addicted to doing things for God. It's okay to say, God, what are we going to get to do next? Oh, you want me to pray for that coworker? I've never laid hands on anybody before. And God's like, yes. You say, how did you learn about that? I learned about that as a teenager, but I've learned it that I still have to stay fresh in his presence. I still have to position myself and know that my big brother Jesus is right next to me. Everywhere I go, anywhere I go, it's right next to me. Why? I'm seated with him. When you're going through that difficulty, you're seated with him in heavenly places. And that will guard your mind and your heart. You have authority. You have a position with God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he gave authority to his disciples. And it says this, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, yes, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you.
Amen.
Nothing shall hurt you. Whoa. That's pretty amazing. It said of the Apostle John, beloved John, that the reason why he was on the Isle of Patmos writing and ministering. Patmos was a prison. It was an island prison. And it was a rocky spit in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean, Mediterranean Sea. And Nero sent him there. I believe it was Nero. I could have my emperor wrong. The Roman emperor at the time, who hated Christians, sent him there. Do you know why? Because Nero couldn't kill him. Nero tried to kill him several times. Actually had boiling water, put him in a chair, tied up, and dunked him in oil.
Yeah.
Pulled him out. And Nero wanted to see what happened. So, emperor it was. I might have my emperor wrong.
Thank you, Lord.
He wanted to see what John would do. So they pulled him out of the hot boiling oil, and John looked right at him and started preaching the gospel. He freaked out. Get this man out of here. Send him to Patmos. And then he goes to Patmos and he starts churches. And then he gets the revelation of the book of Revelation that we now have, of Jesus' second coming. So why do I say all that? Because nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have authority. You have position. You have identity in Christ. If I try to do things in the power of Doug, I'll probably mess it up. But in the power of the Spirit, God can take any one of us and use us for his glory. For his glory. All you have to do is trust him. And know that he's right there. He's right there. He's right next to you. So you're seated with him. And I don't want you to forget that this week. That this week, you are seated with him. You are seated with him. You have authority. You have authority over fear that tries to come your way, over inferiority, over sickness, over disease. You know, next time you get an airplane because of what's been happening, are you going to be afraid? Or are you going to say, no, I am not going to be afraid. I will not fear. I will not fear. And you declare over yourself and you push back the fear. You push it back. Just like Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones because of his position, God put him in that position. He spoke God's words and he partnered with God. You can partner with God every single day, speak his words, because guess what? You're seated with him. You're seated with him. You're seated with him. And you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Our last scripture for today is Hebrews 4:16. Let us then come boldly to the throne of grace. That word grace is power. You can totally substitute it with power. That's not making a change to the word of God. In the original language, grace is power. And it says, you can come boldly to the throne of power and you may obtain mercy. What's mercy? Being treated better than you deserve, right? And grace, in other words, you get to receive power, right? To help in your time of need. So to be seated with Christ means you don't have to walk around with fear, shame, inferiority, anxiety, depression. Can't stay in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And you have confidence in prayer. We don't come in begging like paupers. We come in as sons and daughters. Hey, Dad. I have a good pastor friend. That's how he prays all the time. You know? And the first time I got around him, it was a little hard to get used to, but that's how he prays. He says, Dad, that's how he prays. Because that intimate relationship, if you're seated with him, you can call him your father. And he can help you in any time of need that you have. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't shrink back. Get in his presence. Get in his presence. Live in the rest that a seated position illustrates. They're not striving. They're resting. Jesus has got this. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus has got this. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise God. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Let's just praise him right now. That he seated us in heavenly places. Far above the enemy's fray. Far above the enemy's fray. You have been seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now. Just go ahead and praise. Open your mouth and praise him. That's worthy of praise. Open your mouth. And God, thank you. You've put me in that place. Thank you that fear has no hold on me. Thank you, Father God. Anxiety has no hold on me. Thank you, Father God. Inferiority has no hold on me. Thank you that fear has no grip in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name in this place. Father, we thank you that because of everything that was done for us on the cross, we can be seated with you. Hallelujah. And your Son right there in heavenly places. And Father, we thank you that as we come boldly before the throne of grace, Lord, thank you, Lord. You receive us. You receive us because of the blood. You receive us because of what Christ did. You receive us and you give us help in the time of need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, right now, right now, right now. I believe we're all believers in this place. Hallelujah. I know this congregation. I believe we all know him. And I believe God's calling us to go higher. He's calling us to stay longer and go deeper. Hallelujah. In his presence for you this week. In his presence. See yourself in that seated position. Oh, resting. Resting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, every head bowed, though. If you are dealing with something, I'm not going to embarrass you. You just really believe that God wants to bring a breakthrough in some kind of situation for you. I want to see your hand go up so that I'm going to just look around. We're compact enough here that I can actually look around and know who I need to pray for this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know who I need to pray for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that this week, I thank you that your presence is made manifest to these folks that are raising their hands, Lord, that the reality of who they are in Christ, the reality of whose they are in Christ, Father, comes in such greater degree for them, that they're walking with boldness, they're walking with authority, they're walking, Father God, as if all of the issues have been taken care of because they have in Jesus' name. They have in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we declare it. We declare health. We declare strength. We declare wisdom. We declare favor. We declare provision. We declare, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Promotion in Jesus' name. Promotion in Jesus' name. I don't know who that's for. Promotion in Jesus' name. Promotion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Lord, we trust you that everything that you have given us in Christ is yes and amen. You're not withholding anything. You're not stopping us from coming into the throne of grace. That this week we know that we're in the throne of grace because we're seated with you in heavenly places. So when we walk in, or when we realize that we've already walked in because of our surrendering our lives to you, that we were once dead but now we're alive. Lord, we thank you that that life, that Zoe, the God kind of life, comes forth from every person in this room, from those that are watching online that know Jesus and call him by name, that fear has got to go. Pain, I speak to pain in the name of Jesus. Emotional pain and physical pain in the name of Jesus. You can't stay in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, depression, fear, worry, gotta go in the name of Jesus. Insomnia, it's gotta go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, right now, we declare it. We take authority over those things that have heckled God's people for long enough. We know our identity in Christ right now, and we exercise that authority in our family, in our life, in our home, in our job, in our community, in the name of Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's real simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If you believe in your heart, confess him with your mouth, receive that forgiveness. The Bible says you'll be saved. And so, we're going to just say a simple prayer all together. And if you're watching online, just say it with us and mean it in your heart. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness, and I choose this day to surrender my life to him. He is my Lord and my Savior from this day on, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, or that was an act of rededication, let us know through Facebook Messenger so that we can send you some things, help you in your journey, connect with us. If you need personal ministry, you can connect with us the same way. And also, I'll be available today after service to pray for individuals. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if you are believing God for healing and you want hands laid upon you, I will lay hands on you, and God's power will go into you, not because of me, but because of him, because of who I am in Christ. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you're a believer, God will work through you if you'll just cooperate with Him. God bless you. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for being here. Let's have our sending out verse right now. Praise God as we say it like you mean it. Speak it over your life, your family. Apply your faith to it right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Hot Soup Sunday. Thank you.